以下是 His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada 所说的讲座，内容不掉凡格原意，第四章世界19到22，时间1966年8月8日，地点纽约。
Yasya sarve samarambhya kama sankalpa buddhita gyanagni dagdha karmana samahu panditan buddha satya karma phala sangam nitta sripta nirashraya karmani abhipravittopi naiva kinchi karoti sa. Now, how one can work without any lust?
一个人怎么才能不带贪欲的工作呢？
This process is being described by Sri Krishna to Arjuna.
这里 Sri Krishna 向 Arjuna 描述了这一过程。
In our last meeting, we have discussed the previous verse that
骚乱直接被人跟手绳展示出来，以实现他吉祥的意图。
That's an interesting understanding, because we see like Vrindavan was a very peaceful place until Krishna came there, and then all of a sudden there were so many disturbances.
这是一种很有意思的说法，就说在 Vrindavan 一直非常的平和安宁，直到 Krishna 来了。Krishna 来了以后，就发生了那么多的这种令人不安的事情。
So many demons are suddenly coming all the time.
一直就有不断的有各种恶魔来骚扰。
But that's Krishna.
但实际上这就是 Krishna 的活动。
Krishna arranged them.
Krishna 安排这些事情的发生。
So,So it's not easy to understand Krishna.
所以在这里我们知道要了解 Krishna, 理解 Krishna 并不容易。
But Krishna came, you know, he states in Bhagavad Gita, Pritanaya Sadhanam Vina Shaya Tavishikam. He comes to help the devotees and to annihilate the demons.
就好像 Krishna 在博迦梵歌中所讲的一样，他之所以降临是为了拯救奉献者，来铲除恶徒。
And of course that goes together. The demons, he doesn't come for every demon, but big demons. They're making trouble for the devotees, and the devotees can't practice their bhakti yoga properly, so Krishna kills the demons. It's good for the demons, good for the devotees.
虽然 Krishna 并不是为了恶魔们特地来临的，但是由于恶魔们的骚扰，使得奉献者们无法比较恰当的或者是比较容易的来休息，所以呢Krishna 在取悦奉献的同时也杀了恶魔。
Actually, the demons who get killed by Krishna personally are very fortunate demons.
They
get liberated.
实际上那些能被 Krishna 亲手杀的恶魔们应该算是很幸运的灵魂，因为他们因此而得到了解脱。
So we'll read a few more verses because, you know, it's a little story here. You don't have to repeat. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ete Vai Su Mahotpata Yutishtan Tiha Sarvata Shapas Chana Kulasya SidBrahmanebhyo Dhrityaya. Translation. The personality of Godhead said, Our dynasty has been cursed by the Brahmanas. Such a curse is impossible to counteract. Thus, great disturbances are appearing everywhere around us.
因为接下来几个世界都是同一个故事的情节，所以不如他再往下读。第34世界译文。 至尊人格守神说，我们的王朝已遭到众位 Brahmana 的诅咒，这个诅咒难以抵消，所以我们周围到处发生巨大的骚乱。
Of course, Krishna can counteract any curse, but here he's showing he's honoring the Brahmanas.
当然 ，Krishna 他是可以抵消任何的诅咒的，但是在这里 ，Krishna 展示了他对婆罗门的尊重。
And he's also warning that, you know, one should not, make disturbances against the Brahmanas. Dangerous.
他在这里也做出榜样，就是给人警告，不要去抵抗婆罗门们，因为这样会很危险。
But in this particular case, it's all Krishna's arrangement through his lila.
但是在这个特别的情况下，其实都是 Krishna 安排的逍遥时光。
Krishna makes so many arrangements for his appearance lila, and he makes also so many arrangements for his disappearance lila.
Krishna 做为他的显现的逍遥时光做了很多安排，为他隐迹的逍遥时光也做下了很多安排。
So this particular
to get oneself free from this unintentional killing of animals.
因此，按照伟大文献，要举行五种 yagya， 使自己免于这种无意识屠杀动物的罪恶。
Now here Krishna says, the sariram kevalam karma kurbanna pi kurban natnoti kilmisham. If you make your principle of life that I have to work simply for maintaining my body and soul together.
你这里 Krishna 说道，如果你是你生命的原则是，我工作只是为了维系我的躯体和灵魂在一起。
Shariram, shariram means body.
Shariram 意思是躯体。
Because I have to execute, I have to understand Krishna consciousness. But without this body, how can I understand or culture Krishna consciousness?
因为我必须履行或者理解 Krishna 知觉，没有这个躯体，我怎么能理解培养 Krishna 知觉呢
？So my body must be maintained. And if I want to maintain my body intentionally or unintentionally, I have to commit so many things.
因此，我必须维系我的躯体。如果我要维系这个躯体，有意识无意识的。我必须得犯这么多罪恶。
Let's take for example, those who are vegetarians.
再拿素食者做举个例子。
They may think that we are not killing animals.
他们可能会想，我们不再杀死动物，我们没有杀死动物。
No, they are also committing sins. Because vegetables, they have also got life.
不，他们也在犯罪。因为植物们也有生命。
So, the nature's law is that to keep up your body, you have to kill another body. Never.
自然的法律是，为了维持你自己的躯体，你必须得杀死另一个躯体。
animal or some fish or something else.
不管是植物。动物或者鱼类或者其他的。
Jiva jivasya jivanam, one living entity is the, subsistence, life-giving subsistence for another living being. That is the nature's law.
Jiva jivasya jivanam, 一个生物体是另一个生物体的生计，为它维系生命，这是自然的法律。
In fine, Ahastani Sahastana. Everything has been very nicely discussed in Vedic literature. They have discussed all the points.
还有 Ahastani Sahastana. 在伟大文献中一切都很好的讨论过了，他们一切都讨论到了。
Ahastani Sahastana. Those who have got hands, they are eating and living entities who have no hands.
Sahasthani Sahasthanam 的意思是那些有手的，他们是那些没有手的生物体。
That means we are human beings. We have got hands, and we are eating animals.
这指的是我们生物体，我们这些人类，我们有手，我们在吃动物。
They have got only legs. They have no hands.
他们只有腿，他们没有手。
So, Ahasthanam Sahasthanam Ahasthani. Those who have got hands, they are eating the animals which have no hands.
因此 Sahasthanam Ahasthani, 那些有手的，他们在吃那些没有手的动物。
And Apadani Chatuspada, those who have no legs, they are being eaten by the four-legged.
Apadani Chatuspada, 那些没有腿的，他们被那些有四条腿的吃了。
That's like a cow eating grass. So grass cannot move, it has life, but it cannot move.
比如母牛吃草，草不能移动，它有生命，但它不会移动。
So, apadanam sapadani, nunang mahadam tatra, nunang, those who are weak, they are being eaten by the just like in fine lizard.
瘦弱者为强壮者所食，比如说蜥蜴。
In your country, you don't find lizard. In India, we have got many lizards in the wall.
在你们国家看不见蜥蜴，在印度我们能在墙上发现很多蜥蜴。
They are eating small ants.
他们吃小蚂蚁。
Nunang mahadam tatra, and in the snake kingdom, you find the small snakes are being by the big snake.
在蛇的王国中，你能发现小蛇被大蛇吃掉。
Similarly in sea water also, you will find small fishes are being eaten by the big fishes.
在水族中也是，大鱼吃小鱼。
And the same law is applicable in human society.
同样的法律在人类社会中也适用。
A big nation is trying to swallow up a small nation. You see?
一个大国想吞掉一个小国。
This is going on. This is nature's law.
这些都在进行，这是自然的法律。
Nature's law, you cannot avoid it.
自然的法律，你不能避免。
But there are those who are Krishna conscious. It is said that sariram kevalam karma kurban napnati nakilisham. Those who are in Krishna consciousness, they are not entangled in these sinful acts.
那些处于 Krishna 觉中的人。他们不为这些罪恶活动所纠缠。
How? They are also maintaining their body.
怎么会呢？他们也是在维系他们的躯体。
So, when they are maintaining their body, they have to commit sins, they have to eat other animals or vegetables, never mind.
当他们维系自己躯体的时候，他们也得犯罪，他们也得吃其他的动物或者植物，无论是什么。
So how they are not committing sins?
那么他们怎么能不犯罪呢？
These are very...Intelligent questions.
这些是非常智慧的问题。
That there is Krishna consciousness, a devotee of Lord Krishna. He does not eat anything which is not offered to Krishna.
就是因为有 Krishna 知觉，主 Krishna 的奉献者，他不吃任何没有贡献给 Krishna 的食物。
Just like you get the remnants.Of your master, and the servant takes the remnants of the master. The master eats.
At the base of that same peepal tree, under which Krishna had sat, there is now a temple. 1 mile away from the tree, on the seashore, is the Vira Prabhanjana Mutt, and it is said that from that point the hunter fired his arrow. In the conclusion of his work, Mahabharat.Tatparya Nirnaya, Sri Madhvacharya Pad has written the following purport on this Leela. The Supreme Personality of God, in order to bewilder the demons and ensure that the word of his own devotees and of the brahmanas was maintained created a body of material energy into which the arrow was shot. But the Lord's actual forearm form was never touched by the arrow of Jara, who was actually the Lord's devotee, Bhrigu Rishi. In the previous age, Bhrigu Muni had placed his foot on the chest of Lord Vishnu. In order to counteract the offense of improperly placing his foot on the Lord's chest, he had to take birth as a degraded hunter. But even though a great devotee willingly accepts such a low birth, the personality of Godhead cannot tolerate seeing his devotee in such a condition. Thus, the personality of Godhead arranged at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga, when the Lord was winding up his manifest pastimes, his devotee Bhrigu, in the form of a hunter Jara, would shoot the arrow into a material body created by the Lord's illusory energy. Thus, the hunter would become remorseful, gain release from his degraded birth, and go back to Vaikuntha Loka. Well, that's a long, you can read that much.
Okay. 要指, 那时候有许多半神人 来到地球, 投身到亚度王朝, 显现为主 Krishna 的同游, 协助主 Krishna 上演他的逍遥时光。 当主结束他在地球上的逍遥时光, 他吩咐这些半神人, 恢复他们以前管理宇宙的服务。 于是每位半神人返回各自的星球, 超然的Dwaraka城堡, 无比的吉祥, 无论谁在那里死去, 便立即重返家园, 回归守神。 但由于降生到亚度王朝的半神人, 在很大程度上尚未做好准备, 回归守神, 所以他们只好在Dwaraka城堡以外的地方死去。 因此, 主 Krishna 假装以一个普通生物的口吻说, 我们都处在危险中, 即可前往Pabasa。 就这样, Krishna 以他的Yogamaya迷惑了这些投身在亚度王朝的半神人, 把他们撤回到圣地Pabasa。 Dwaraka是 Paramangala, 是最吉祥的地方, 所以那里不可能有一丝一毫的不吉祥。 事实上,主 Krishna 毁灭亚度王朝的逍遥时光 是很吉祥的, 但由于这个逍遥时光 表面上显得不吉祥, 所以没有发生在 Dwaraka。 因此,主 Krishna 率领亚度族人 离开了 Dwaraka, 吩咐这些半神人 回到他们各自的星球之后, 主 Krishna 准备以他的原初形体返回灵性世界Vaikuntha, 留在永恒的 Dwaraka 城堡。 Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur 曾对本师节做如下的评述。 Pabasa 是一个著名的圣地, 位于 Janagaraha 区的 Viravarava 火车站附近。 Srimad Bhagavatam 第11篇第30章说, 听了 Sri Krishna 的一番话, 亚族族人纷纷从海城 Dwaraka 乘船登陆, 然后驾驶战车 行至 Pabasa。 在 Pabasa Kshetra 他们喝过了 Maria 之后, 就开始互相争吵, 继而一场激烈的内战 居然掀起, 他们操起坚硬的芦苇相互残杀。 就这样, 亚度族人上演了同室超歌的逍遥时光。 主 Krishna, 主 Sri Krishna 坐在一棵 Pipal 树下, 展示出他的四臂形体, 他把左脚放在右腿上, 他左脚的后跟 红得像 Kokanada 红色的莲花。 一位名叫 Jar 的猎人 从 Pabasa 海岸 放眼望去, 误以为主红润的 足是一头鹿的脸, 于是弯弓搭箭朝他射去。 主 Krishna 当时所在的那棵 Pipa 树下的平地上, 现在坐落着一座庙宇, 以那棵树1英里远的海岸上 耸立着 Vilapalabhanjana Mata。 据说当时猎人 Jar 就在这个地方射出了一箭。 Srila Madhvacharya Pada 在他的著作 Mahabharata Tatkarya Nirnaya 的末尾如下评述了这段逍遥时光。至尊人格守神为了迷惑恶魔，确保他们的奉献者和 Brahmana 的话， 兑现，便创造了那具被箭射中的有物质能量组成的躯体。但是主真正的四谛形体永远不会被扎尔的箭所触碰，而扎尔事实上是主的奉献者 Bhrigu Rishi。 在上个年代， Bhrigu Muni 曾踢踏过主 Krishna 的胸膛，为了抵消他不恰当的踢踏主的胸膛， Bhrigu 不得不投身为一名堕落的猎人。然而即使伟大奉献者愿意接受如此低下的出身，人格守神却不忍心看到他的奉献者身处如此堕落的境地。因此人格守神在 Dwarpa Yuga 之末安排自己在结束他暂时的逍遥时光时，他的奉献者 Bhrigu 以猎人 Jar 的形象射中主的迷幻能量所创造的一具物质躯体。如此猎人会懊恼悔恨，从他堕落的出身中解脱出来，从返外昆塔洛卡。Hare Krishna。
Wow. Well, there's a lot there, huh? Very interesting.
这是一段非常有意思的、很有趣的小时光。
So, this is the devotees, you know, there's not very much description of this Moshala Leela. This means Krishna.
这段小时光叫 Moshala Leela， 就是说 Krishna 离开这个世界小时光。那么奉献者不是经常会提到这段事情。
Devotees don't like to hear about it, Krishna leaving.
奉献者们不是太喜欢听 Krishna 离开的事情。
But this is Krishna is always coming and going somewhere in the material world.In the spiritual world, he's always there, but at the same time, the highest thing is he's not there, so everybody can feel separation.
但是 Krishna 经常会来了又去，来了又去。他在灵性世界是永恒在那里的，但是在物质世界 ，Krishna 是一种分离的方式来展示的。但是这种分离却是更高的一种。关系，因为奉献者总会去寻找 Krishna。
As the description here, Dwarka is so auspicious that anyone who leaves his body in Dwarka will go back to Godhead.
这里讲到 Dwarka 城是非常非常吉祥的，任何在那里离开躯体的人都会立即回归神手。
But many of these Yadus, they were demigods who just came.For their own benefit, Krishna brought them so they could be elevated, but still they had in this life work to do as demigods.
但是呢，有些凡神他们并没有准备好到回归神手，但是呢，他们仍然在这个物质世界有他们要履行的职责。
So according to the demigod time, they're coming to Earth for 100 years of Earth time.It's just a short holiday for them.
但是对于半神人而言，他们到这个地球上来，在这里度过125个地球年，对他们来说就好像是短短的一个假期一样。
So their work can go on, but they have to go back because they have their work to do to keep the universe going.
但是呢，他们度假完以后还得回去工作。就是他们有自己的岗位，有自己的职责，就好像他们的职责以便能够让这个宇宙能够运作起来。
So Krishna created these so-called disturbances in Dwarka, and then told them, you know, we better go somewhere else where it's a more auspicious place. And that Prabhasa, where he went, it's also a spiritual place.
然后 Krishna 就告诉这些。朱瓦拉卡的居民们，他说：“我们还会要有些事情要做，所以呢，最好你们去到另外一个圣地帕巴萨。”
But it's not on the level of Dwarka.
当然，帕巴萨它这个圣地的神圣程度跟朱瓦拉卡是没法比的。
So Krishna very, you know, he took everybody, and they went somewhere.
于是 Krishna 就带着所有人去了其他地方。
So he also manifested this look like him, a material body, so the atheist could believe, oh yeah, he's an extraordinary person, he died.
所以 Krishna 他以后留下了一个看似所谓的物质躯体，这样子以便是那些物质主义者他们能够被迷惑，认为你看 Krishna 只不过是普通人，他死了也留下一个躯体。
But it's very foolish to believe that Krishna, you know, on the battle of Kurukshetra and many other battles, had, you know, taken Brahmastra weapons and so many weapons, and nothing ever hurt him.
嗯，但是呢，Krishna 他即便是在战场上或者在战场上，虽然当时使用各种各样的艰难的武器，甚至包括反射光，但是呢，没有一种武器可以伤得了 Krishna。
And how could just an ordinary hunter's arrow in his foot kill Krishna?
那怎么可能一个普通的猎人用他的一支箭射在 Krishna 脚跟上， Krishna 就会被他所致命呢？
But another thing he did was after all the others had, you know, been sent back to their places, Krishna was sitting there under this tree.And that's where he met Uddhava and Maitreya, and that's where he spoke his final instructions to Uddhava, which, you know, is a very lot. The Uddhava Gita, the big, big section of the 11th canto.
嗯，但实际上同时还有一件事情发生，就在也在 Krishna 坐在这棵枇杷树下的时候，就是 Krishna 向 Uddhava 讲述了这个 Uddhava Gita, 啊，那么这是一部很厚的内容很多。也遇到了 Maitreya, 向他讲了这个瓦坛中的内容。
So, this Krishna's, you know, bewildering Leela.
所以这只不过是 Krishna 那令人迷惑不解的逍遥时光而已。
So they all went to this Prabhas and then they got drunk and then they had a big fight. They all started, you know, got intoxicated and started insulting each other and fighting about this and that.
所以他们后来就一起去了 Prabhas, 在喝醉酒之后呢就开始相互的辱骂，相互的打斗，最后呢就是把对方都给杀了。
So, and Krishna and Balaram were also right in on it, killing so many of them, and therefore liberating them.
当然 Krishna 跟 Balaram 当时也在其中，然后他们也杀了很多人，赐予这些被杀的人解脱。
The hunter's name was Jara. Jara means time. So it was time for Krishna to leave, you know, his pastimes on earth were finished.
有一位猎人，他的名字叫 Jara, Jara 的意思是时间，就是当 Krishna 要离开这个星球的时间到了。
And then there's so many different understandings that are given in this purport.
对于这个事情的要旨，有各种各样不同的理解。
It says that the hunter shot the arrow from 1 mile away, so he was not an ordinary hunter.
啊，据说那么。这个要旨上我们看一下，就是这个猎人呢是在1公里外射箭射中 Krishna 的，所以这个猎人也不是一般的猎人。
So Krishna bewildered all the demons, but he enacted wonderful pastime, and for the devotees we know that Krishna left in his original forearm form actually.And surrounded by all the demigods and glorifying him, and he just rose up into the sky. But he left behind this look like a material body, so the atheists can say, oh yeah, just see, he's ordinary.
其实半神人们他们都明白，当 Krishna 离开的时候，他以四地形体的形象，然后周围都围绕着半神人，他们升到空中。 去到人间世界，但是对于那些不相信神的人，他们看到就是 Krishna 留下一个躯体，所以他们就说看你看 Krishna 只不过是一个普通人而已。
And it's explained that this hunter was Bhrigu Muni. Now I think you might know that story.
那么这个猎人他其实呢以前是 Bhrigu Muni， 大家可能都知道有关于这样 Bhrigu Muni 的逍遥时光。
That we can find in the Krishna book.
这段故事呢我们在 Krishna book 当中可以找到。
So Bhrigu, he was a great devotee and sage.
Bhrigu 他是一位伟大的奉献者，也是一位圣人。
And the other sages, they engaged him to find out who is the actual Supreme Personality.
而这个Bhrigu Muni 他想要找到谁到底是至尊人格神手。
Because some are thinking it's Brahma, some think Shiva, somebody thinks Vishnu, so he was supposed to find out.
因为有的人他们觉得主 Shiva 是至尊主，有的人认为主 Brahma 是至尊主，有的人认为 Vishnu 是至尊主，所以呢他得要确定一下到底是谁。
So first he went to Brahma, and he was the son of Lord Brahma.
所以呢，他因为是 Bhrigu Muni 是主 Brahma 的儿子，所以他先去找主 Brahma.
And he didn't pay obeisances or something. He was offensive.
他见了 Brahma 时候呢，他没有顶拜，所以呢，这种行为是一种冒犯。
And so, but Brahma got very angry, you know.
于是主 Brahma 就变得非常生气，你竟然不尊敬我。
But then Brahma, by his great intelligence, he calmed down.
但是呢，主 Brahma 由于他的这个极高的智慧，他就想，应该不要生气，平和下来。
Then he went to Shiva.
Bhrigu Muni 就讲那我不要生气，所以呢接着他就去找祖师了。
He's the brother of Shiva.
Bhrigu Muni 他是祖师吧的兄弟。
And Lord Shiva came running out to greet him and wanted to embrace him.
一看到自己兄弟来了，祖师吧赶紧就跑上去想要给他的兄弟一个拥抱。
And he said, don't touch me, you dirty, you know, you live in this crematorium and you're unclean and don't touch me.
然后 Bhrigu Muni 就说，哎呀，你让开，你别碰我，你这个人太脏了，一天到晚就在火葬场里，这个都是骨灰，太脏了，不要碰我。
And Shiva got very angry.
听到这样说，主 Shiva 就感到非常的生气。
But then Parvati preached to him and made him peaceful.
但是呢 ，Parvati 就跟主 Shiva 讲了，然后呢，让这个主 Shiva 就给平和下来。
So first he offended Brahma. That was a mental offense.
他刚开始的时候，他是冒犯主 Brahma， 就是因为他心意当中有不尊敬的念头，他就冒犯了主 Brahma。
Then he offended Shiva. That was a verbal offense, you know, by words. It was more serious.
然后他冒犯主 Shiva 的方式是通过他的话语，所以这种语言的冒犯比心意的冒犯要更严重一些。
And then he went to Vishnu.
然后最后他去找主 Vishnu.
Vishnu was lying down, and Lakshmi was massaging his feet.
但是 Vishnu 他正躺在那里，然后有幸运女神在给他按摩棉花子。
And he just went right up to Vishnu and he kicked him in the chest. That's really awful.
就 Bhrigu Muni 他二话不说，一上去就给住 Vishnu 的胸膛，就是用脚去踢他的胸膛，这是一件很严重的冒犯。
Touching anything with your foot is offensive.
用脚去碰任何东西都是一个冒犯，是很大的冒犯。
Especially kicking someone, you know.
尤其是用脚去踢别人。
But Vishnu said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I hope you didn't hurt your foot because my chest is very hard."
但是主 Vishnu 却一点都不生气，他就说，哦，我的胸套太硬了，肯定把你的脚给踢疼了吧。
And he was saying, I've been blessed by the touch of the foot of a Brahmana.
啊，我的胸膛因为你这位婆罗门的脚的触碰，现在变得非常的得到了祝福。
So that way Bhrigu could understand that Vishnu is actually the Supreme Lord, because he didn't get take offense. He
这个时候 Bhrigu Muni 他明白，哦，原来主 Vishnu 就是至尊主，因为他跟其他不一样，他根本就不接受任何的冒犯。
But somehow or other, by the laws of whatever, he had to become a hunter. But then he was able.
那不知怎的，就是啊，由于主的安排，他不得不再投身为一名猎人，然后侍奉的。
So he came and saw it was Krishna, and he left his body. So that's, you know, very amazing pastimes again. So we'll stop there. Like Krishna didn't actually take birth, you know.He just appears to take birth. He didn't die. He just appeared to die. It's all his pastimes. He can come and go as he pleases. In most of his pastimes, he doesn't make a show of dying. But in this particular case, he did. Mostly, he just disappears. Okay. Any comment or question? Refractions, retractions, retractions.
好，那么这一组 Krishna 他其实并不是出生，也不会死亡，但是呢，他在这里就上演了这样的一段小时光，来迷惑一些不信神的人。好的，那么大家今天姑讲课就讲到这里，大家有没有问题，或者是有可以分享的，或者是有什么评论，各种相关的内容都欢迎。
Otherwise, if there's no questions, we can leave it.
Okay.
And ask everybody to, you know, read these things over and over again.
那么如果大家没有问题的话，那么我们今天就到这里。大家可以去反复的阅读这个世界的内容，这段内容。
Mother.Okay.
好的。Maharaj, no questions till now.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you very much. We'll
see you
Friday morning.
好。
Okay.
大家星期五早上再见。Hare Krishna.
Su ro yong.
Yao.
Su o yo u yong.
没事。好。好，那今天晚上的讲课就到这里结束，非常感谢。好，圣子，我们好，老师也感谢大家的聆听，欢迎 Krishna。